Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Thank you, Vicar, and welcome to another Confessions podcast. From your friends at Greatest Hits Radio, Sister Susie is still in the pub.
I am.
Brother Matthew has plucked himself up by his bootstraps from the gutter.
From the gutter, obvs, yep.
Have you worked out what the Spangles thing was?
Spangles, it was what I thought and what everyone else listening thought, which is exactly the kind of thing that you'll find on an egg. So glad to see everyone was going along with me.
No thought into anything.
Didn't need to.
Yeah. Right, so coming up, we visit this. Yes, I mean, and also sequins is clearly what...
But no, I mean, I can't believe I'm having to explain this again, but Spangles...
thing is, you never explained it.
No, I did. Spangles are the things that you put on eggs and also on fashion, and everyone knows what I mean, so I'm
not
so glad
answer.
That everyone knows.
Okay, so
knows
later,
I mean.
The man is delusional. Yeah. We visit the parish notice board, going to catch up on the goings-on this week. There's a roll call of shame for those... whose confessions made it into the not-for-broadcast filing cabinet, a canal catastrophe in the confession from the crypt, and of course you get to hear this week's confessions from Drive Time on Greatest Hits Radio, including Dennis's smelly house-moving prank, Smells Like Teen Spirit, Lynn's school-leaving celebration, Now Is the Time to Yield a Sigh, Constable Knapweed's confession, Darkness Falls Across the Land. But first we have Hazel's German Year Abroad confession, which was called For You Students, a Holiday is Over.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Hazel. Father Simon, Matt, and whichever of Susie or Holly you've released from the tat cupboard for the day.
Nice.
My confession dates back to 1995, when having completed 2 years of my degree in German, I was shipped off on my year abroad. I was feeling particularly cocky and confident as having achieved an A in GCSE German, passed my A-level and studied German for 2 years at university. My German was amazing, wasn't it?
Oh, really?
What could possibly go wrong? My university had a link with the University of Leipzig, which was formerly in East Germany. And this being 1995, it wasn't that long after the wall had come down and not a lot had changed. Whereas in West Germany, most of the Germans could speak English better than me, in East Germany, the Ossis, as they were called, had all learnt Russian in school and were, as a nation, no use to me when I rocked up and realised that if they weren't giving me directions to the station or telling me about their holidays, I had absolutely no clue what they were talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the stage is set. Anyway, I have been assigned lodging with an elderly couple called Horst and Ingrid. You can use their real names as they were ancient in 1995 and spoke very little English, so the likelihood of them listening to Greatest Hits Radio in 2024 is very, very slight.
Wow.
Ingrid spoke a smattering of French. Horst had unearthed a dusty old English book from before such things were banned and occasionally greeted me with phrases such as, "Good morrow, sweet maiden." And also, she says German accent, please.
Yeah.
Fare thee well, Miss English.
Anyway. What's this book?
It's a dusty old English book.
Well, clearly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Upon arriving at their apartment for the very first day, Ingrid welcomed me with a barrage of German, of which I understood one or two words, which were probably house rules and instructions. For younger listeners, this was obviously before Google Translate and the like, so I nodded along and smiled and threw in a few... Ja, and natürlich, and she seemed convinced and let me settle into my room. The apartment was on two floors, and my room and bathroom, along with the kitchen and dining area, were downstairs, and Horst and Ingrid's living area was upstairs. On my second day, I was about to leave the apartment and go into town, and being the polite English girl that I was, I thought I'd better let them know I was leaving. I stood at the bottom of the stairs and called up, "Hello! Ich gehe aus," which I think means I go from. But anyway, that was the right thing to say, I imagine. There was no answer. Hello? No answer. So I decided to go up a few stairs. Hello, ich gehe aus. Still no answer. I could now hear a noise coming from upstairs.
Oh, dear.
Ah, the vacuum was on. That's why they couldn't hear me. I would need to go up and so they could actually see me. So I ventured up the stairs and I poked my head over the banister.
Oh, dear.
Only to be met with a blast of angry German. As I realised, yes, they had the vacuum on. Yes, they were cleaning. But also, they were both... Volleyknacht.
Volleyball?
Not wearing a stitch of clothing.
Okay.
I apologise profusely. Fortunately, sorry was one of the English words that they understood, and I dashed back downstairs and out of the apartment. When I returned later, nothing was said. The house rules were reiterated to me of... Which, upstairs is out of bounds. They absolutely did not need to tell me this. I had learnt my lesson. Father Simon, I'd like to seek forgiveness from the lovely Horst and Ingrid, who I had to live with for a further 9 months after this incident, for failing to admit that I didn't have a clue what they were saying to me and inadvertently barging in on them in their birthday suits whilst they cleaned the apartment. I have wondered whether maybe they were German naturists. Lord knows there are enough of them in Europe, but anyway, who knows? I'd like to seek forgiveness from my long-suffering German teachers who'd probably been telling me that my skills were lacking before I went on my trip. And lastly, I'd obviously like to seek forgiveness from the assembled collective. In my defence, I was young and stupid, and I did learn my lesson and buckle down. Also, having no one to speak English to for 9 months and the lack of anything other than the World Service to listen to in English meant that I returned at the end of my trip virtually fluent in German and managed to achieve a decent degree. I never again ventured upstairs and managed to achieve a cordial relationship.
I'll bet you didn't.
Yeah.
With Horst and Ingrid. What a name Horst is, by the way.
Yeah.
Hazel wants to say Entschuldigung, which is sorry in German.
Okay.
But Sister Susie, what do you say to Hazel, not her real name?
Oh, Hazel, you were only... a young girl, and you were just trying to be polite. And I feel like you were probably more scarred from that than Ingrid and Horst were.
What a sight.
So I feel like I can't believe you had to live with them for 9 months after that.
Time.
I forgive you because you've had it. You've suffered enough.
Brother Matthew.
I mean, who does the spring cleaning naked? I can't see how that's
possible. Maybe it's a thing in East Germany.
I mean, it's a hostage to fortune, surely. Maybe something else. Who knows? Also, how are you on this course? And you can only say, I can say, yeah. And I've not learned any German at all. But Hazel, I mean, you learned your lesson. You didn't go upstairs again. Oh, won't make that mistake twice. So for that reason, oh, what a laugh to start on a Monday. Yeah, I can definitely forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I guess also we should, in communist East Germany, there wasn't a lot going on. For entertainment.
So there's nothing going on tonight, my dear. So let's get naked and do the hoovering around the house. No,
yes.
I'm
but
not sure.
Well, maybe
really,
in the absence works. Of any showbiz, maybe that was the most excitement that it was possible to
showbiz
have.
Is a quite broad
anyways,
definition there.
Lots of interesting German, I thought. Hazel's confession also led to an interesting text from the people's verdict.
And finally, Stefan Brath says, Wollig vergeben, completely forgiven. I'm German and I sometimes clean stark naked. It's very liberating.
Really?
Yeah.
So, mate, is it a German thing?
I don't know. I'm not sold.
No. I seem to remember various holidays in Europe, in around Greek islands and so on.
Uh-huh.
It was always the Germans that took their kids off.
Yeah,
all
on the beaches,
time.
Cannot wait. Yeah. Cannot wait to be divested of their
Maybe that's getting to the heart of it. Maybe if this was a German radio show... No
it'd be
one
completely
would,
normal.
It'd
yes.
be absolutely
yeah.
straight.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
one
yeah,
be
yeah.
able, what's the problem? Of
yes.
course.
Of yes. course, we are going to be naked whilst doing...
Plug in the Hoover, take off your clothes.
Yes. Yes, naturally.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little bit unsavoury to say. Right, let's move over to the safer ground of the parish notice board.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yes, we are going to start off, as always, with a roundup of the latest reviews. And just to emphasise, if you want to get your review read out, you must leave a 5-star review
Definitely.
On iTunes, or
five
else
stars.
You ain't got a choice. Looney June says 5 stars and will forever be 5 stars. My mum first showed me this podcast on my 11th birthday after we'd missed the train back home from Paddington, and it's been something of a comfort listen ever since. Forever entertaining. I was overjoyed it was back and had taken to listening to old confessions on YouTube. Everyone should listen to this podcast. Makes my day so much better.
Very good.
Very good indeed. Nice. Will says 5 stars. Long-time listener, first-time reviewer. I was bereft, inconsolable and heartbroken when Confessions was off the air. I did not know until a couple of months back that you were back and life is complete again. I submitted a confession a few weeks ago, and after having it read out, I shared this podcast with relatives, friends, co-workers and even my old neighbour, Mr. B. Thanks for all the laughs. Long may it continue.
So all the promo, all the TV work and all the posters.
We do need to talk to the marketing department.
And Will had absolutely no idea.
Yes. Our favourite review of the week, though, goes to PenguinChick17. 5 stars. The return of Confessions has made my year. I will be forever grateful to the MVP, most valuable player, who informed downloaders of the old Confessions podcast. Yes, some of us are still returning to re-listen 6 years on. Simon's back. I'm now living in Dubai, but keeping true to my British roots as I howl along to the hilarious Confessions every week. Matt, your laugh only adds to my enjoyment. I want it as a ringtone. Never go away again. 5 platinum stars.
Can I just say it wasn't our idea to go away in the first place?
No.
So if you leave us a review, we would love to read it. Obviously, just, you know the kind of thing that we like, because we're very, very insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon and Kim. Right, Simon, we love the podcast. It's become a Friday night ritual for us and puts us in a good mood for the weekend. To make it even more enjoyable, we now play Matt Confessions Bingo. When one of the following phrases is mentioned, you have to take a swig of your own chosen Friday beverage.
Okay.
Obviously, drink responsibly,
obviously.
Friends.
Yeah.
So, and this is what you have on Matt Confessions Bingo.
Okay.
And for that,
yes.
I choose to forgive.
Yes.
It should be, and for that reason, I choose to forgive.
I choose to forgive, yeah.
It's the system.
Yep.
The circle of life.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Which one of us wouldn't do the same?
No. Yes.
A bad pun.
Nice.
Bad pun. Very good pun.
And
probably.
Yeah. Also a random incoherent argument.
That's my favourite.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. 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 All of those.
That's very good.
I mean, that's basically going to be, that could well be just one verdict, all tied up with that, I think.
I'm sure there are others. But anyway, we can't be the only one doing this. Keep it up. And Matt for Prime Minister, imagine.
Why, right.
Gordon and Kim from Alford in Aberdeenshire.
Yeah.
Random,
like that.
Incoherent argument.
Yes.
A speciality.
Yep.
Confessions Bingo.
Susie, what have you got?
I've got an email from Marina who says, "Hi, Simon. I'm not sure if this confession would be allowed back on air or if you still have it, but it's one of my favourites from around 91, 92. It was about a boy who went to boarding school.
Hang on, and before you go any further, so this is Radio 1.
That's definitely Radio 1,
yes.
Isn't it?
Early days Radio 1.
I mean, my instinct already is that it definitely won't get on, because virtually all the confessions you did in the early 90s,
yes.
None of them would get past now.
Certainly. Right. Well, we certainly don't have recordings of them,
no,
but anyway.
No.
So this is all we have, and Susie's going to read it.
Yes, so it was a boy who went to boarding school in Devon in the 1970s. One Sunday, when he was a teenager and allowed off the campus, he ended up at a museum with some mates. They were shown around the ancient Egyptian exhibit by a fairly eccentric curator, and he encouraged them to climb in with the mummies.
What?
Which,
really?
Climb
which
in?
Which weren't in the best condition. And he just said generally enjoy themselves and left them to it.
Really?
Generally enjoy yourself.
What kind of a curator says, just get in with the mummies, it's fine.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Involved. On his way back to school, they stopped a local chippy, and knowing that the older kids and their dorm mates would seize their chips, they decided to play a prank on them. And this is a bit strange, but at the museum, they'd taken some skin from a dilapidated mummy.
From the mummy?
From a mummy. And then they'd slit the chips down the middle and added the bits of skin into the chips, therefore turned their greedy pilfering mates into cannibals. And they ate all of the chips, and the original confessor had never told anyone before he got in touch with you in 1991, 1992.
Wow.
It's
a good one for sure.
So he ended up eating all the chips anyway. Oh, dear.
No, he didn't eat them.
The baddies did.
The baddies did.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Cannibal baddies.
Mm. Cannibal baddies. Marina says, if I can't hear my favourite confession again, can I at least get some rubbish from the tap cupboard? And then she does say something really nice. I'm so glad the Confessions podcast is back. It's always been a family favourite. We save up our recordings for long car journeys and dropping our eldest to and from university. It's literally the only thing our kids ask to have the volume increased for in the back seats so they can hear it properly, rather than the usual, can you please turn that rubbish down, that they say for pretty much everything else.
To which you say, when you pay for the car...
Yeah, absolutely.
You can choose what we're listening to. And until then...
Yeah. Are you driving this car? No, I'm driving this car. So we're listening to Status Quo all the way to Carlisle.
That's a very good... That sounds like you've said, like that said that many, yeah. many times. Yeah. Thank you for sending in correspondence. Anything for our parish notice board, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Quick few mentions for me, for Paul, Astrid, Steve and Muttley, who are among those who tweeted the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, spangles on your eggs, which makes no sense at all, but is another
makes sense. Yeah.
Matt
yeah.
Yeah. being weird. Anyway, keep listening through to the very end of this podcast to pick up this week's secret code phrase. Now, time for our dirty and grubby part of the podcast, where Susie rolls her eyes and Matt doesn't understand what's wrong with the latest confessions marked not for broadcast. First up, Miss Webb. It was very much different times back in the 1970s, and it was excellent detective work of your friend to use a singer's real name. It was Sting.
Ah.
To find his London address in the phone book. But basically heading there, driving past, hanging around outside, looking through the window and knocking on his door is not really the behaviour that can be forgiven. And it's kind of stalking.
It is. Because you've done that in the set. You could have looked up, is it Gordon Sumner? That's him, isn't it?
It was,
that
yes.
That was Sting.
Anyway,
you could have looked that up and found out where he lived.
So the Sumner family.
It might not have been him. But
it just looked like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this voice was singing, so lonely.
And maybe he was walking on the moon. Maybe.
Anyway, it read like a stalker's
walking on the moon.
Confession. Yeah. So Miss Webb, good. Sorry about that. Not getting on.
Soz.
And M says, M was asking forgiveness on behalf of his wife, who took his Springer Spaniel, called Sport, for a jog along the coast while on holiday in Cornwall. You should have... realised as soon as you used the words brown liquid whilst describing a little issue the Sport had with his bottom after drinking seawater that it would never be broadcast, obviously. But after having a dip in the sea and drinking some seawater, Sport decided to run across the beach straight to a family having a picnic. While excitedly saying hello, Sport sprayed the brown liquid all over the blanket, picnic and the family. M's wife, who was already jogging across the beach back towards the coast path, saw the awful scene from the corner of her eye. Split-second decision, she kept running.
Yeah, quite right.
Someone else's dog, not my problem.
Yeah. Nothing to do with me.
It was just too horrendous to face, so she ran away. That I can see why we wouldn't use that.
No, we wouldn't, no.
Yes. No.
Because it's just...
Also, I wouldn't stop. I don't think anyone would stop.
They wouldn't say, sorry, that's my dog.
Sorry.
Allow me to do all of the washing up.
Yes,
take the laundry bill.
Yes.
Basically, if you've got a dog on the beach, you need to have it on a lead.
Isn't that what we learn? So sensible. Yes. No, it is true. It is true, yes.
Don't drink seawater.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
In fact, to be honest, don't have a picnic on the beach. Because I think you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of those.
Well, picnics in general are overrated like barbecues.
Oh, they are. Well, not like barbecues. Picnics are overrated. I think we can all get on board with that. Yeah. My barbecues are amazing.
We always just said, sitting on the beach with a blanket, packet of crisps and a sandwich. That was it, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that'll do. I mean, that counts as a picnic, doesn't it? It's when people start getting... You know, started to bring others like dips and
some hummus,
veg. Oh God, hummus and other vegetables and stuff in it. No need. Okay. Not when there's ice cream. If there's ice cream being sold on the beach, then that's what
wine glasses. Yeah. No, not on a beach.
Please, you're not Glyndebourne now.
Just drink from the bottle,
unless you actually are.
If you are at Glyndebourne,
have a picnic.
Then, that's fine,
and drink wine
because that's what they do.
Exactly. But if you're on the beach at Weymouth,
no, you're not.
Then take some crisps and some sherbet lemons. Yep. Anyway, we'll get back to those that did make the cut. Here is stinky Beano-inspired confession from Dennis. Smells like Teen Spirit.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Today's confession comes from Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie, I come to you seeking forgiveness on behalf of my siblings and I for an act of mischief perpetrated several years ago. Firstly, some background. As a child, I was a huge fan of the Beano.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Dennis the Menace, Roger the Dodger were my heroes, and as such, few things got me as excited as a trip to the joke shop. She gave me the chance to try and emulate those characters and their unique brand of righteous mischief. Which is a very good phrase. On each of these rare occasions, I would save up my pocket money and splash out on whatever I could afford. Whoopee cushions, squirting flowers, and the holy grail, the stink bomb. However, I did not live in Beano Town, and opportunities to put these items to use in the real world were unfortunately few and far between, so these precious items ended up buried in the bottom of my wardrobe and eventually forgotten. A few years later, when I was around 13 or 14, my parents were unfortunately separating and were therefore selling our family home. A viewing was conducted by a young but smarmy couple from the area who walked through the house with their noses turned up, loudly proclaiming how they'd tear this down and replace that with something so much nicer. Father Simon, I didn't like the thought of my child at home falling into the hands of these toffee-nosed snobs. Neither did my brother and sister. But that is the way of the world, and eventually an offer was accepted, and we started packing our lives into boxes. Just as we finished packing up the house and the final arrangements were made to move, the couple raised a few made-up concerns and asked if the property price could be reduced accordingly. Seeing them for the chances that they were, my parents declined. Smug couple withdrew their offer, and we duly set about trying to find the right boxes to unpack. A few days later, their bluff having been called, Mr. and Mrs. Smugface got in touch to say they may have been hasty, and while they certainly weren't happy with the condition of our grotty little home, they would be willing to resubmit their previous offer once again. My parents accepted, and we were back at DEFCON 1, rapidly trying to repack all over again to hit the now looming moving date. So the moving day arrived, vans were hired, favours were called in, furniture dismantled and tensions frayed. The first load of boxes were packed into the moving van, but as we were at the top of the moving chain, we were at the mercy of Lord and Lady Knob, whose solicitor advised us that they would be completing at around 9 a.m. Well, 9 a.m. came and went, as did 10, 11 and 12. By 1 p.m. the necessary funds still hadn't been moved, and my parents were terrified that the smug couple were going to pull out of the purchase again. You could have cut the tension with a knife, had all the knives not been packed away. Finally, at 2 p.m. we got the go-ahead. Documents were signed, money was transferred, and so my parents could begin to move into their new properties. The first van drove off and I went upstairs to gather my remaining boxes for the second trip. In one of the last boxes, I spied a familiar green cardboard box emblazoned with the oh-so-tempting words, stink bombs. Father Simon, had there ever been such an opportunity for righteous mischief? I'd heard of putting fish behind the radiator or prawns in the curtain rod, but I didn't have any seafood. I only had stink bombs. The pack contained three mega, long-lasting, clings-to-everything, vomit-inducing, reaction-guaranteed stink bombs, and I handed one to my brother and one to my sister. We let one off in the eaves of the loft conversion, one in the built-up wardrobe of the master bedroom, and one in the living room. Father Simon, I do not ask forgiveness from the smug couple who I think were Octavia and Barty or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
They were horrible people and I still wouldn't be repentant had I left a whole fishmonger's in the airing cupboard. No, I ask forgiveness from my poor parents. As I say, they were extraordinarily stressed and this stress was only exacerbated when they were greeted with a strong smell of rotten eggs emanating from various points throughout the house. The move had already been significantly delayed, so they could have done without spending another half an hour checking if there were gas leaks in the house. So, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smug, that smell when you moved in wasn't gas or rotten eggs. It was the smell of three angry children who recognised you for what you were, opportunist moneybag types after a quick buck. We hope the stench lasted a long time and that the ammonia sulphide lingers long in the memory and deep in your pitch black soul.
Wow!
We did fess up to my dad a few years later. And with hindsight, he did see the funny side and agreed with us that the smug couple, who still live in the house to this day, had it coming. I lay myself on your mercy. Well, let's see. I mean, it's righteous mischief is a fantastic phrase, yeah, which I think we're going to use again. What do you say to Dennis, Sister Susie?
Well, I do like Righteous Mischief, Dennis. However, and you know, you are right, Barty and Octavia didn't sound very nice. And let's face it, no one likes moving house. There's nothing worse than packing. And I think that Barty and Octavia might have deserved it, but I don't think your mum and dad did. They must have been so stressed. And the smell when they walked back in for those final boxes and looking for a gas leak, I just can't forgive you for that, I'm afraid.
Okay, so to no. Brother Matthew.
Oh, I have a kindred spirit here in Dennis. My class war, don't I? Goodness yes. Me, Octavia and Barty. I mean, that got very dark very quickly, didn't it? Pitch black souls, goodness me. There is a rule that says when you're going looking around a house that you want to buy, you never ever say in front of the people who are selling, oh, we're going to knock through here. No. We're going to get rid of this. No. We're going to tear that up. So very bad manners from the posh couple, and therefore I am definitely going to forgive.
I thought that was rather fine, and I'm sure that whole moving house thing is going to generate a whole bunch of other confessions because it is such a stressful thing. But Mr. and Mrs. Smug, if you could,
they were horrible.
In an ideal world, you'd say no, I'm not selling. I mean, but then if they've got make the best offer, you are going to sell to them. But try being a little less smug, Mr. and Mrs. Smug, who apparently, as we heard in the confessions, are still in that house.
Are they still there?
Absolutely. Anyway, still to come on the Confessions podcast, Sam is getting saddle sore in the Confession from the Crypt, and we celebrate leaving school with Peter Cook and Dudley Moore for Lynn's leaving do. But not before Constable Knapweed's confession, darkness falls across the land.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Constable Knapweed. Thanks, Constable Knapweed. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, I offer my confession to you in the hope you can forgive me for an event that has plagued my mind for over 30 years. Whether we're going to forgive you for the flowery language, Constable Knapweed, I'm not sure.
Ooh.
This whole sorry event started innocently enough whilst I was stationed at a North London police station. Life was progressing normally, and as a young police constable, I spent my time learning from my more experienced colleagues. But events were to take a sinister and unfortunate turn in the form of a new fast-track recruit by the name of Martin. He arrived and was introduced to the rest of us as a high flyer, and didn't he just know it? Mm. Within days, he had alienated everybody around him, telling officers with 20 years of hard-earned experience that he knew best because he'd read it in a book. As you can imagine, the situation went from bad to worse, and very soon, murmurs of a lesson began to circulate. Oh, as time went by, Martin spent his days watching the rest of us and reporting any event, however small, to his new best friend, the inspector, thus hardening our determination to do something about this outrageous man. It is with this knowledge that I agreed to participate in the events that were to follow. Months went by whilst we waited for the ideal conditions to present themselves, and on one late November night they did. The shift was night duty, and the night was perfect. It was cold, creepy, and very foggy. London lay in silence under a thick blanket, etc., etc. Mm. As we moved into the early hours, the plan was put into action. One police car was dispatched to the 7-Eleven store at Muswell Hill to collect a bag of ice, while the rest of us made their way to Highgate, where we all parked. All the crews from the cars and vans in the area made their way into Highgate Cemetery, where not far from Karl Marx's last resting place is a large open crypt in the centre of the cemetery. Many a horror film has been filmed there. Marble columns, ornate sepulchres, Gothic symbols everywhere. The place was eerily quiet, fog swirling around the tombstones. Complete silence, not a creature stirred. The darkness was total and overwhelming. We get the picture, Constable Knapweed, moving on. Once gathered at the crypt, everyone went inside, and the two that had collected the ice now dipped a large cheesecloth into the freezing melt water, and the trap was set. Minutes later, a call went out on the police radio to investigate a disturbance at Highgate Cemetery. As the controller asked various units to respond, all it would seem were engaged in other more serious or time-consuming matters, and so ultimately it fell to Martin to attend the call. He acknowledged the request and said he'd be there in 10 minutes. At this point, the anticipation was overwhelming. This thorn in our side was about to get his comeuppance. They do say that revenge is a dessert best served cold. This was going to be freezing. And he was about to get it We fell silent. The freezing cheesecloth was wrung out and ready. Then, cutting through the silence, we heard footsteps on the gravel. Martin was approaching. He was here at last. He was about to get the shock of his life. We flattened ourselves against the clammy walls of the crypt, barely breathing in the pitch blackness. A figure appeared in the doorway, and at that moment the freezing cheesecloth was pulled tight across his face, and we all let out screams and howls so loud that they sounded as if they'd come from the depths of hell itself.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
The result was instant. In a single moment, he jumped back 6 feet, screamed, turned and fled with his arms up high and ran at breakneck speed away through the swirling fog into the darkness where he was enveloped by hell.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, justice was served. The account was balanced. All was good with the world and we laughed and joked. We congratulated ourselves on the perfect wind-up. That was right until the point that Martin turned up and said, "Why, what are you lot doing here?" In that single moment, victory turned to confusion and then to dread, and then it got worse. The police radio burst into life. All units, we've got a report of an elderly priest running down Highgate Hill. He appears to be screaming. Please respond. Over. 10-4. Good buddy. Don't say that. Apparently, on hearing an unusual noise within the cemetery, this elderly, gentle, caring man of the cloth had decided to investigate. His only intention was to help or offer comfort or assistance to whomever needed it, and he had unwittingly walked straight into our wind-up and had suffered what can only imagine as a life-changing experience. Obviously, we swore ourselves to secrecy and didn't admit to this fiasco, other than taking the elderly gentleman in question to the casualty department at the Whittington Hospital, where the medical staff prescribed a sedative. In our defence, he was later heard to say that he had indeed experienced the vision of hell, and as such, his belief in heaven had been somewhat reaffirmed and strengthened. I would plead with you, Father Simon, for your forgiveness for this indiscretion, as we didn't mean to harm anyone with our innocent prank. Ah, well, I'm not sure whether pranks are ever truly forgiven by our crew here, but let's check in with Sister Susie in the pub.
Well, I'm shocked by this one. I was going to say, you know, Martin sounds like a bit of an annoying bloke, but, you know, still didn't deserve what you were about to do to him. But that poor, poor priest, he definitely didn't deserve it. You had to take him to hospital.
Yes.
It was that bad. I can't forgive Constable Knapweed at all. No,
the Whittington Hospital
here
back in the 70s would have been it used to be a workhouse, so that wasn't a great source of comfort either. No. From the other gutter.
I mean, you've got a question. What's a priest doing in a crypt in the middle of the night in Highgate Cemetery? Seems, I mean, if you thought there was someone down there, obviously, do they not call for backup? Surely priests have backup as well. Could have got more priests to come down and have a look. There's something going on in the crypt. Let's all go down there.
Priestly radio.
I'm going on my
something
own.
Something going on. You I never, need help.
Get me backup. And also he's renewed his faith in, you know, heaven and hell and all of that. So and everyone comes out of it well, apart from Martin. So definitely going to forgive.
And Constable Knapweed.
And Mr. Knapweed and his mates. But apart from that, forgiven.
And for that reason.
And for that reason,
okay,
I choose to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Lynn. None of the names have been changed.
Really?
Ooh. Okay.
On the basis of statute of limitations, I think. Dear Father Simon and the Forgiveness Collective, please hear my tale and find it in your hearts to forgive a young, at the time, and usually innocent, threesome. It was the summer of 1964. And having completed our GCEs or CSEs at Priestlands Secondary Modern School, my besties, Stella, the head girl, Val, sports captain, and I, renowned bad influence, were looking forward to bidding farewell to all things academic and heading off into the big wide world. Actually, the head girl in this trio did continue to higher education. We all loved our school and felt it had been pretty good to us, so although we were glad to be leaving it behind us, we wanted to show our gratitude in some way. We spent many afternoons extending long into the evenings in Val's garden, her mum fueling us with orange squash and homemade cake, planning our farewell and our farewell surprise to the school. We hit on the idea of a banner, which we thought would look good strung along the front of the gym. Being huge fans of Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, we decided to emblazon it with the words, goodbye, goodbye, we're leaving you, goodbye. Yeah. Missing off the skiddly-dum bit, which they added. An unnecessary addition in this context, we thought. And the banner wasn't long enough. Those of our generation may well be singing along by now. And for those who aren't...
Goodbye, goodbye,
this is it.
We're leaving you, skiddly-dum, goodbye. We wish you fun, goodbye.
That's what they wanted to put on the banner. Okay.
Excellent.
Very good. Val's mum found us an old sheet. She was always a good sport and liked to encourage our enthusiasms. And a banner was duly furnished in large letters in black paint. It looked most impressive. Further thoughts came to us as we were working away at the banner. Streamers across the school roof seemed a good idea, and toilet rolls were deemed to be appropriate for this. We also hit on the idea of painting the windows with window lean, more easily removable than whitewash, but had exactly the same effect. And we needed something to hoist up the flagpole. I think it was my mum who found a pair of large black knickers for this, and they turned out to be perfect. So on the evening before the last day of term, we set off for the school with my boyfriend, Del, whom we had inveigled into our plan to shin up the drain pipe to the gym roof to attach our banner and help trail the toilet paper over the building. I mean, what could possibly
go wrong?
Then, having window-leaned all the ground floor windows and run our knickers up the flagpole, that's one pair of knickers, I should say, our parting gift had been delivered. The final morning's assembly was not the fond farewell to pupils of previous years. A puce-faced headmaster admonishing the vandalism, and demanding that those responsible come forward. The fifth form boys were then all taken aside, kept behind after school, dealt with and interrogated. but to no avail. What did they know?
No.
Of course, Stella, Val and I never admitted our deed, but I think that 59 years on, that's 59 years on, it's time to come clean and ask forgiveness, mostly from the fifth form boys for being accused of a crime of which they had not a clue, let alone did not commit. They were forevermore known as the Filthy Fifth and punished appropriately for 1964. But also from the school janitors, tasked with cleaning all the windows, and to our poor headmaster, against whom we bore no grudges, but who clearly didn't appreciate our fond farewell. And what fun we'd had planning and executing it. Also, I ask forgiveness from Dell, my boyfriend at the time, fondly remembered for his generous friendship, but who, as I recall, found climbing the drainpipe not as simple a task as he'd imagined. The three of us still get together whenever we can. Val and I are going to be spending a few days reminiscing with Stella in Denmark. Our education has stood us in good stead during the intervening years. We've all experienced reasonable levels of success. Our fleeting memories of school are happy ones. Anyway, yours in the hope that you will understand and give us your absolution. Sister Susie pronounces on Lynn, yes, it's her real name, from 59 years ago.
Well, Lynn, do you know what? I love that you had a group of girls and you still talk to each other, you still get together and you still have a lot of fun. And it was only a little prank. However, the problem I've got with is the window lean. If it was anything like my school, it would have been absolutely... There were thousands and thousands of windows. Can you imagine cleaning all that up afterwards? Might have been quite fun at the time, but the poor cleaning lady's probably still there doing it now. So for that reason, I'm not going to forgive.
Because the banner was fine, but when you add the toilet rolls and the window lean, it's a whole other thing. However, morals of a sewer rat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to forgive. I think vandalism feels a little... That seems a bit harsh. It definitely wasn't vandalism. Nothing was broken. They were just putting the, you know, knickers up the drainpipe. And Del, if you didn't want to go up the drainpipe, should have said so. Got a tongue in your head, Del.
He
should have mentioned it.
He wasn't man enough, I don't think.
Yeah, clearly. And the window lean... The point of the window lean is it cleans the windows. So all the windows would have been cleaner than when they started.
For the beginning of the new term.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all working in their favour. So nothing to forgive.
Okay, so...
Forgiven.
Okay, so it's 1-1. I got confused.
You did, because I didn't say, and for that reason, I choose to forgive, which is part of the bingo, obviously.
That's the moment that I know that I have to pick up, and you didn't say.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like the Peter Cook and the Dudley Moore.
Definitely.
It wasn't Derek and Clive. Fortunately, it was Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Right, let's dust off a classic next as we delve into the crypt, this week at the request of Karen, who says, Simon and the Collective, a confession from the crypt I would love to hear. Again, involved a lady who was trying to get fit and went on a bike ride with her new friend with disastrous consequences. It made me laugh so much at the time. It would make my week if you could replay this one. Thank you so much. Lots of love. Your favourite listener, Karen. Anyway, we successfully found it. Susie found it.
Obviously.
Yeah.
This is from October 2022. Here is Sam's confession. We called at the time The Walk of Shame.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Sam sends in today's confession. Sam, thank you very much. You get the smart speaker. Father Simon, at the beginning of 2019, I decided it was time to lose a bit of weight, as I was then 53 and felt it would be a great benefit to my health and fitness. So I enrolled in my local slimming club. All was going exceptionally well, and to my surprise and delight, I made some lovely new friends. As it was going so well, I decided it was high time to do some exercise to spur along my fitness regime, and so I discussed this with one of my new friends, called Jane. I say new because, although she's a very close friend now, at the time I'd only just known her a matter of months and was at that stage where you want to make a good impression by being a happy, jolly, enthusiastic, fun person to be around. And Jane is a lovely lady who's very much into her cycling and walking and always appears quite fit, sporty and organised and, dare I say it, a bit cool. Sadly, everything I am not, says Sam. So naturally I was a bit in awe of my new friend and secretly I wanted to be cool like her. So when she suggested I go on a bike ride with her to help with my fitness routine, I naturally said yes. Enthusiastically, I got myself ready with great excitement, imagining my days of whizzing around in the 70s on my rally chopper bike. At this point, I get very jealous because I always wanted a chopper bike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never had one. But Sam did. As I came down the stairs in my T-shirt and shorts and my new trainers, my husband had the cheek to say, "Now, please be careful. You haven't ridden a bike for 40 years, so you really, really need to be careful." How rude, I thought. How rude. So off I went, and I drove up to Jane's house in my bright red VW Beetle and bounded up to her door to borrow her spare bike. Her husband had got her a nice, shiny mountain bike out for her and a fold-up bike that was their spare bike from the garage for me. I also borrowed a pink child's cycle helmet from her because I didn't have one of my own. What a picture.
Oh, no.
So off we set. Jane and her 10-year-old son came along as well. Across the fields we went on a lovely, very hot summer day. The wind was in my hair and the sun was on my face. I felt 13 again. It was lovely for a bit.
Yeah.
After a few minutes, I started to feel a little discomfort in my buttocks.
Oh, lovely.
Over the next 20 minutes or so, it got steadily worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And worse. Mm. Not wishing to look a total novice, I resisted the urge to give up and go back. "You okay, Sam?" said Jane brightly as we cycled across fields that had bumpy ground everywhere. I'd started fine, less than comfortable. "Yes, yes, I'm fine." Resisting the opportunity to say, "Can I go back now?" Well, Jane, being a very kind and intuitive person, sensed that me and, more importantly, my buttocks were... There's more buttocks in this confession than any confession ever.
Okay.
...were not quite enjoying the ride as much as I had at the beginning expected. Anyway, she kindly suggested that we take the shortcut back along the canal towpath. Okay, I said, still wishing to remain cool. I said, "Yes," enthusiastically, "yes, that would be lovely." So off we went down the canal towpath, me, Jane and a 10-year-old. It was way off in front. No saddle issues at all. Feeling a ray of hope that we were now on the home straight, I felt a little easier for a few minutes, but very soon the saddle burn came back, and so Jane, again sensing my discomfort, suggested we swap bikes. I eagerly took Jane's bike and perched my slightly overweight and by now aching bottom on the new saddle with gratitude. It wasn't until we set off along the towpath I realised that Jane is in fact 3 inches taller than me and I could only touch the floor with my tiptoes. This is always a very dangerous situation to be in. My bottom was now becoming agonisingly painful. But in an effort to not let on to Jane, I thought if I pedalled faster, the ordeal would be over quicker.
Yeah.
We'd soon be sitting in Jane's garden drinking tea and my reputation would be safely intact. But as we continued along, I found the momentum of the bike getting faster and faster. Oh my, I thought, if I brake suddenly, I'm going over the handlebars. And I couldn't stop with my feet, so I couldn't touch the floor. And the bike was going faster and faster. And I swerved to avoid a large blackberry bush and stinging nettles to my right. And I started to lose control and the bike started wobbling and the path started to look narrower and narrower. And with seconds to spare, I knew it was too late, and then into the canal when Jane's shiny pink mountain bike plunged into the canal, and then I went in seconds afterwards, leaving nothing visible to Jane and her traumatised son but the back wheel of Jane's bike. A big Vicar of Dibley-style splash and the soles of my new red trainers sticking out of the water.
Oh dear.
I re-emerged shortly after, covered in mud and spitting out stuff I'd swallowed, because we all know canals are full of fresh everything. I was in a state of shock, but laughing so hard I could hardly move. To my overwhelming relief, the cool water delivered a considerable soothing off effect on my poor aching behind.
Okay.
With a look of horror, Jane fished out her new friend, together with what remained of her bike, and we then both fell about laughing on the towpath, and I was instantly renamed Bridget Jones, whilst the son was open-mouthed and stunned by what he'd just witnessed. We then walked the rest of the way back, giggling quietly in shocked disbelief, back to Jane's house, where she lent me a towel to sit on in my car as I drove home. The drive of shame. I need forgiveness, Father Simon, not to Jane, whose bike went into the Bulkington Canal, or even from her son, who went straight home and straight-faced told Jane's stunned husband, "Sam went in the canal, Dad." Never mind. But to several boatloads of people at the narrowboat rally further up the canal, who were sat on top of their barges on a hot summer day enjoying afternoon tea, when a slightly overweight middle-aged woman covered in mud walked past waving to them and saying, "Lovely swim, I can recommend it." Also to my husband, who knows me better than I know myself, whose warning I did not heed, who opened the door to a speechless, soaking, mud-caked wife, and who almost managed to conceal his mirth, and who stood in the kitchen and silently assisted me to remove all the dead leaves and canal debris and pond-smelling clothing from my person, and who didn't laugh as I walked naked in silence up the stairs to the shower, feeling like Cersei Lannister walking the streets in the shame scene of Game of Thrones.
There you go.
There's a Game of Thrones reference. Yes, absolutely. Well, there's a famous scene where she has to...
Cycle into a canal, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's a big moment.
Big moment with the dragons.
Well, today's story then from Sam. Took a friend's bike into the canal to save her aching buttocks. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Oh, Sam. Well, I was going to say we've all been there, but I'm not sure we have. But I feel like you suffered enough, and I will give you forgiveness for that fact alone.
Okay, that's going fine, brother, from another gutter.
I would like to know why she got landed with the fold-up bike. If you've invited someone to come round and go for a cycle, you give them your bike. You don't leave them with the one with the dodgy saddle.
Do you?
Absolutely. And it is not every time you get to see someone cycle into the canal, so nothing to forgive. And so many buttocks in this story.
Yes,
so,
an awful lot
plenty to recommend it, and therefore I forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I don't think I would actually give them my bike.
That's very much the done thing, is if someone comes round to your house and you're both going to go and they haven't got a bike, you say, well, you must have my bike.
No.
And I will take the lesser bike.
No.
Because I am a reasonable individual.
I also don't think you would.
If I had a special thing with my bike, then that's true.
Yes.
Yes.
Because my bike is going to be... Why would I want to go on the rubbish bike?
I mean, I suppose if my saddle is set up for me and therefore only I could be on my saddle, then maybe
a lady who you're trying to impress.
And then I'd be wooing the lady by saying, please have my bike.
Different saddle technique then.
Yes. Yeah.
Good, I think that's clear.
Good.
If you have a request for a classic confession that you'd like to hear again, or indeed have a confession that you think deserves a little bit more forgiveness, then send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Thank you very much indeed for listening. It's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is mummy in your chips. Mummy in your chips.
Thank you very much.
The code phrase for this week.
If you've listened this far, you can tweet at Simon Mayo on X or Twitter.
Yes.
Or Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads.
I'm also on
Blue Sky.
On the Blue Sky. Let's keep it going, everyone. Just it's basically you are keeping Blue Sky going.
There are others.
Are there really?
There are.
I don't think so.
Don't forget to follow and to review for extra points, and keep telling everybody that Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast is back. Maybe it seems to be whole bunches of people have got no idea doing anything since 1991. Anyway, now we're off on holiday, so you'll have to wait a week or two for a bunch of new confessions, but we don't want you to miss out on your confessions. So next week, there will be a bonus podcast, a bit like a holiday bonanza edition.
Oh, yes, like they used to do with comics.
Exactly,
yes.
That's what it is. So it's a bonus pod delving into the crypt for next week. So you will not be confessionless, even though we're not here for a week. Mm-hmm. Until next time, from the pub, Sister Susie.
Bye-bye.
From the gutter, this is Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
And I'm Simon. Thank you very much for listening. See you next week.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
That was a little bit half-hearted,
I
thought.
It was a little, yeah. Oh. I mean, put some effort into it. Bit of rada.
This is Sister Susie.
Bye-bye.
Well, again...
No. Worth every penny.
A little bit of the gap suggested you can't wait for it to finish. So,
let's try again.
From the pub.
I'm trying to listen from to... The there's pub, a delivery coming outside.
I'm sorry.
Just tell the guy to hang on a minute.